Okay. All right, here we go. Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, February 26, 2022. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We're not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We're not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Thanks for joining us today. We are Indicator Information Institute. My name is Carol Worlius, and my partner Jim Knox and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturdays of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, indicatorinformation.com, and YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected exchange, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think it is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. Just star six to raise your hand. It does appear, once again, that we are on the brink of this becoming a real deal. While our focus is always about trust, Jim and I would like to share some of the information we recently heard. Once the official rules of engagement are made known, we will send a broadcast email to all of you letting you know that the eagle has landed. We're not gurus, but assure everyone that there will be time and an order to arrange it made known to all of us from various services. Just be ready. You know, you've no doubt heard about various kinds of trusts, structured payouts, group rates, NDAs, 800 numbers, et cetera, you know. As of this writing, we still don't know the actual rate or date of the RV. Same as taxation. I've heard everything to put aside 50% taxes to it won't be a taxable event, either federally or by the state. I think putting aside 50% is a good idea. If it's taxing you, you have the money to cover it. If it's not, you have a bonus. And if you live in a non-tax state, then you probably don't even have to put that much aside. You know, people will ask, well, why should I establish a trust rather than continue owning currency in my own name and Social Security number? Owning anything in your own name or social, leave your assets exposed. If you were to exchange your currency in your own name, then have an accident or heart attack on the way home, God forbid, all that money would be at risk. It would be taxed at the federal rate of 40% after the $5.49 million exemption. The assets could be tied up for years. Your family may not see any of it for a very long time. Having assets in your name leaves you wide open for lawsuits and others wanting to put parts. My goodness, I'm having a hard time today. And others wanting you to part with your newfound wealth. On the other hand, if you exchange into a properly crafted trust and then have an accident or heart attack on your way home, the assets remain in the trust with no probate or estate taxes. It will be managed by successor trustees that you have previously named. Most trusts that people talk about are statutory in nature, meaning they get their power and strength from locally, usually state-enacted laws. They are often recorded in a state or county, thus no privacy. They are sometimes required to pay a state recording fee every year. We do not do that. One of our clients recently called and got a telephone call from some guy named Jeff and said, well, we know about their business with Carol and somebody else, and you have to pay us $120 to keep your trust active. That is not us. Good. If you get a call like that, just hang it up. Anyway, it's most corporations, LLCs, and statutory trusts are also required to pay a state recording fee every year. The contract business trust that we employ is a creature of common law. It gets its power and benefit from the U.S. Constitution. Most states require recordation only if the trust is actually involved in commerce. This guarantees your privacy and you don't have the annual recording fees. Just for clarification, the trust that we use is a contract business trust, essentially a contract in trust format. It is not even found under trust in law dictionaries, but is defined as a business trust. We have chosen to drop the word business, as it has caused confusion in the past, especially with bankers. You know, contract trusts are ideal for controlling versus personally owning any assets. At the creation of the contract trust, you irrevocably exchange your trust. You no longer own them, but you have complete autonomy in managing them. You don't own the assets, so no one can take them from you. People ask, what is the difference between an irrevocable and a revocable trust? An irrevocable trust cannot be changed or revoked. You exchange those assets, period. They are no longer yours. A revocable trust can be changed or terminated any time. Because of this, the IRS may invoke the clawback provision, putting your assets back into your estate where they can be added to your personal estate. Very important in consideration in tax time. As I mentioned, business trusts are common law. Common law is rarely taught in our colleges and universities anymore, and as such, most banks, CPAs, such lawyers, etc., are just not familiar with them at all. Now, folks are still calling and asking if it's legal to be their own trustee. Once you exchange your assets, you no longer own them. By the terms of the trust, you are eligible to become trustee. We feel that if you are able to put those assets together, you are the most logical choice to continue to manage them. So you might be thinking, how do I take money out of a contract trust or use these funds and income with the least amount of personal taxation? There are several ways to get money out of your trust. For big ticket items, we suggest borrowing from the trust, which is not a taxable event. You can take a salary or draw. This will be taxed as 1040 or 1099 income to you. The trust can pay expenses, not just typical items like telephone, internet, car expenses, but business trips, etc. Be sure to look at some property, pick up brochures and business cards on the next trip to the Caribbean. And as a certificate holder, you have a right to distribution. We also suggest, again, for big ticket items, if you're looking to purchase a home, that your management trust, that your mother-in-law trust fund a new real estate trust, sometimes bypassing and going directly to the management trust and then to the real estate trust. That way, the real estate is in that trust from day one. And the contract trust may be legally domiciled in a tax-free state, like Wyoming, Washington, Florida, Texas, etc. However, banking is not limited to that state. You can go wherever you want. Corporations, trusts, and LLCs have been often domiciled in a tax or business-friendly state, and this has been a common practice for many years. We like Wyoming, Washington, and Florida, as there is no state income tax and no requirement to register the trust. We can refer you to places in those states which will set you up with a street address we will use when obtaining your EIN from the IRS, and we have negotiated rates for our clients. Just as you personally can open a bank account anywhere, your trust can do the same. It won't be necessary to physically go to Wyoming, Washington, Florida for those functions. The contract trust was born to live. Well, you, unfortunately, will pass sooner or later. When we prepare your trust, we ask that you name at least one successor trustee who will take over when you die. No probate, no inheritance or estate tax, and no attorneys. And you cannot be your own successor. You may change the appointed successor trustee at any time for whatever reason. We have also included a spendthrift clause so no future trustees or certificate holders can compromise or obligate the assets of the trust. We can also add a bloodline succession clause if you desire. And all of our clients are invited to join our members-only website, which provides extensive legal backup, sample minutes, and other documents, as well as operating instructions as part of your trust package. We strongly suggest you keep the other assets separate from what we like to call the mother-load trust. Additional trusts for real estate and other trusts can follow later. And estate planning is more than just the money. You need to plan for the money. You need to plan for other things like your health. We offer the triple play, which consists of a portable will. It simply says anything you own personally at the time of your death pours over into the trust you've named. Also included are a durable power of attorney and a health care directive. The triple play is very reasonably priced at $350 for a single and $500 for a couple. So, Jim, now that I got my little spiel out of the way, what would you like to mention today?
Well, I got a couple of issues here. Recently we found out that somebody had scanned our trust and then marketed, and we got a copy of it, and it was obvious that they didn't know what they were doing because the pronouns weren't matching properly. It was sold to a man, and they had her in there instead of him. They even left the copyright down in the footer, our copyright. So that person's been confronted. They're saying, well, it's not as it looks. Well, we're not so sure about that. We don't know what we're going to do yet. We're not going to let it drop. So just be aware that that's going on out there. And if you, the only two people that sell these is Carol and I. And you have to go through our system to get one. I got a call a couple of days ago from a male voice, and he was wanting to know if you could get a login to this. And I started asking him questions, and he hung up, which I don't know if the two are connected, but I think they are. So the individual who was doing this is or was a client of ours, so that client can no longer get in the website. And I, unfortunately, when I moved the website, some of the history was removed, and I'm wondering if they've been using that person's login for the people that she marketed these things to get in and see how to do this. I don't know. So just putting it out there, if you don't go through our system, you don't have a valid trust as far as we're concerned. I'm going to leave it at that. Just want to leave it at that. So that's some house cleaning things I want to talk about. Again, the website's up and running. I'm working hard and feverishly to try and get everything done. The only thing that's not working right now, and I'm having an issue with that I finally think I figured it out, is the old style there was anchor links. An anchor link is where at the top it says, you know, want to see a specific minute. You click on it, it takes you down the page to where that minute's at. Well, it's not working. So there's a new way of doing that. I just figured it out. So today, this afternoon, I'll be working on it, trying to get that all connected. Other than that, I think the thing's working pretty good. I've had no complaints about people not being able to get in, not doing what it used to do. I think I found that issue and I fixed it. So if you have issues, just give me a shout, call or email me, and I'll fix them right away. Other than that, Carol, I don't know where we want to go other than open up for Q&A. And when I did send out this invite, I didn't put the time on there, which I will do from now on. And I'm building a new template for that, so it'll be correct. But we did kind of cross the border that we had set up a long time ago. We would not go down this road. But because of what's happening on the planet right now, it's time to talk about it. This is affecting everybody in every country. I mean, it's not just, for example, our northern friends up here in Canada. It's not an issue of borders anymore. It's an issue of the planet. It's all over the place. They're doing things. I mean, most people don't realize that, let's put it this way. Those that don't know should understand that the American media is just a propaganda machine. Virtually nothing you hear on CNN or any of that stuff is accurate. By the way, I don't even have a TV in my house. I haven't had one for years. Well, I think back, I had one last year when I was watching the auto races, year before last. It was year before last. So I don't even have a TV. I get my news at sources I can trust. And I search them out on the internet and I double vet everything. But we're at a point right now where we have to now look, okay, what's our future going to be like? Well, post-RV should be a lot more fun, but we have to protect what we have, and we have to be aware of the system that's going to try and claw back that money. I mean, look what happened in Canada. Yeah, Trudeau backed off, but some of those things that he put together, they didn't cancel them. They still have access to your money. The bankers are taking over. And the only reason I think he backed off is because he got a note from the deep state, like, hey, you can't be telling people this stuff. You can't be showing them how easy it is for us to take their stuff. So that's just my opinion. And then be careful what you hear and think about what's going on in Ukraine. It's not as you think. There's a couple really good sites out there that kind of give you the truth. And you can find out what's going on. I don't want to go down that road right now. Let's open some Q&A and get some people involved in this conversation.
Okay, that works for me.
See if you can find Terrence up in Canada. I want him on here today.
Yeah. Hey, come on. Bro,
you pay some taxes.
Okay, Terrence, I know I saw him on here. Let's take a look. Has nobody put their hands up just yet? Carrie. Okay.
Yeah, hi, Carol. Yeah, hi, Carol and Jim.
Hi.
It's been a while since I have been on the call, really. I've been inundated with any number of things here, you know, just personally. And so I've missed several of the most recent calls, but I've logged on and, you know, read, you know, heard some of the replays and so on. So, but anyway, today is special. The events that happened in Canada and how it's affected the world and so on are important to everybody. I think because I'm Canadian and I'm a member of and an owner of a contract trust, I think it's beneficial that if there are any Canadian listeners on board here, I highly endorse Jim and Carol's contract trust. So I would encourage anybody to proceed with that. It's based in common law. Canada is a common law country, and therefore everything that's designed within the trust applies to Canadians as well as Americans. And I think that should be stated, and it should be, I encourage anybody to embark upon getting one through Jim and Carol. So that being said, what makes this special interest today, of course, are all the events that originally occurred in Canada with the Freedom Convoy 2022. And I, as a Canadian, I'm very proud of what they displayed for 17 days in Ottawa, of a very peaceful, enjoyable, festive love fest, really. Everybody, strangers hugging strangers, singing, dancing, you name it. Complete with bouncy castles and road hockey games for the kids. It was wonderful, wonderful to see. And not an ounce of violence or anything else. Be it known that they did never enter the Parliament Hill property. They stayed out on the street. There was never any intention to overthrow the government in any way, shape, or form. We were simply peacefully demonstrating our disagreement with government policies with respect to mandates. And in short, the mandates are a shackle on our freedom. And we are demonstrating against that. And once again, I was very proud of them for doing what they did. I must say, however, that while I supported and participated in the cause for freedom, I did not support the blockade at the border crossings that took place at the Ambassador Bridge, that's the bridge between Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, and the land border crossing out in Coutts, Alberta. The commercial trade between our two countries means jobs and productivity, and that's the lifeblood of freedom. There existed a conspiracy which was responsible for these actions. Some bad actors were behind these actions and that of the fundraising seizures. These truths must be brought to light. And without going too deep into the weeds on that one, there's a contingency of a known small group of four people that wedged their way into the organization of the convoy, and they took over the basically the money. And anyway, once again, I don't want to go too far down into the weeds there. There is evidence out there that four people were basically saboteurs. And it also must be understood that the convoy, the initial implementation of it, I believe, and this is my belief, was started by the government with full intent to close the borders and give them an excuse to institute this emergency act situation where they could lock things down. And so it was an act of parliament that they enacted. And with any act of parliament, they can attach regulations under it. And while they have revoked the Emergency Act, they have not revoked any of the regulations that they imposed under it. And as a consequence, it has to do with the financing of given their financial authorities to control our banking and spending by means of the institution of a digital ID, formerly known or previously known as a vaccine passport. They've got Q codes on these passports. If you get a vaccine, then you get a vaccine proof of the vaccine, and it carries a Q code, and you have to display that at any number of locations, not the least of which is the restaurants and the bars here. And it's just, once again, it's just a slap in the face of our freedom. And so they've instituted this digital ID, and that's New World Order. You know, it's just got that spelled all over the place. So now it's no secret that Trudeau is a traitor to our country. And he's also a New World Order puppet. And some people are rephrasing that. The N in NWO doesn't necessarily stand for new, but perhaps Nazi World Order. You can swallow that one. So while his enactment of the Emergency Act was used to dismantle the protests has been revoked, the regulations made under it are still in play. So these are some of the things that I think people should be understand, that there are, for the most part, the freedom, the citizens, the truck drivers, the farmers that did this thing was amazing. And they are not involved with these four people that I referenced. They are good, honest people. When this thing first started, I had occasion to drive from my location, which is not far from the border in Detroit. I traveled to Toronto on a bit of a mission for my son-in-law, and every overpass was crowded with people waving flags and singing songs and the trucks honking. It was an amazing trip. Just, I was in tears of joy all the way down there. And since that time, I've participated in a few local rallies that we've done similar things around a couple of the towns where I live. So Canada is alive and well. We outnumber the bad people thousands to one. And the same holds true in the United States. And I just throw some cautionary notes up there that the bad people have been planning this nonsense for a long, long time. And it's only now that we have just woken up. And like this thing that supposedly, what the Canadians did had reverberated around the world. And all I can say to that is it's a sign that there's revolutionary change happening. And so I asked the question, can the GCRRB be very far behind? I don't think so. I think we're at the end of this roller coaster ride that we've been on, so much so that we don't know what's true and what isn't. But what is true and what is real is the spirit that the freedom fighters have shown. And it is manifesting itself throughout the United States. And it's my belief that until the United States takes action, Canada will be in very dire straits. So I'm looking to the United States and the current freedom convoy going on over there to spark some real revolutionary change throughout the United States and then consequently the world. So my hat's off to the American truckers. My hat's off to the freedom fighters around the world. And my hat's off to the Indicator Information Institute, Carol and Jim. You've been on this this road for a long period of time. You bring into the picture a great deal of experience. And once again, I urge anybody that does not have a contract trust, get your wallet out and take action now. This is going to happen very soon. I have all the confidence in the world to think that. So that's all I really have to say, Jim, Carol, and my hat's off to both of you for what you do. And that's it from Ontario, right, Canada.
Thank you so much, Terry. We appreciate it. Okay, let's see. We do have a couple hands raised here. Elaine, how are you today?
Hi, Carol. Hi, Jim. This is Elaine. A couple of questions. The first question is, each trust needs to have an EIN number?
Yes.
Okay. And the second question is, we have the $21 silver certificates for our first trust. Do we have to get the $21 silver certificates for each and every trust? And if when the reval happens and we have to turn in the fiat, how will that affect us with the silver certificate?
Jim, I think you should take that one. Jim, you're muted. No, I'm muting you here. Okay, now.
Thank you. All right, I've been talking and nobody's listening to me. I've been trying to get Terry's attention to tell him to turn off the background noise, but you had me muted. See how I'm just getting no respect. No respect.
I know. Anyway. What I do.
I know. Anyway, to answer your question, no, you do not need an EI number for every trust, only those that you want to have an active bank account with. So that's why we created the management trust.
Yeah.
All right, that's number one. Number two, yes, you do need silver certificates for each trust. Number three, to answer your question about the value of them, they're based on gold and silver anyway. They're silver certificates. Back when you had silver in the bank, these are chits. They're kind of like Monopoly money. You take these to the bank, and they'll give you that amount of silver that's in the bank held for you. So when we go back to the gold-backed currency, I think you're going to find that you can take these things in and actually redeem them for silver or gold. If you have gold certificates or silver certificates. Gold certificates are hard, very hard to find, very expensive. Don't mess with those. Do the silver certificates. But they evidence the fact that you try to use real money to base your trust on, not fiat currency. That's why I encourage everybody to use the silver certificates. And I go around to the numismatic coin shops and I buy the junk ones, the ones that are torn, missing a corner, you know, those that are really, 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 really bad shape. I buy those I don't need anything special because or pretty because I'm going to put them in an envelope, seal them up, put them in the trust anyway, never to be seen again unless you go to court.
So would the person that we're purchasing these silver certificates for charge us like $28, whatever the amount of an ounce of silver is? Or how do they charge you based on each $1 silver certificate?
That's up to the person selling them to you. Basically, it's a premium price. In other words, for every dollar, it's about $1.45, $1.30, $1.25. I mean, they take the face value of the note because they're actually still currency. You can still use them at the stores, but they're rare, so they charge a little bit more money. It's just a way for them to make a buck or two. I remember the time that I was going from here down to L.A. on a business trip, and I stopped through a little town, Grants Pass. I stopped through Grants Pass, Oregon. Went into, I think it was a Burger King to get a sandwich and a cup of coffee early in the morning. And the guy gave me a change for $20 in silver certificates. Cool.
Yeah.
So evidently somebody's kid got into daddy's drawer where the silver certificates at and thought it was cool money and took it. Something like that.
So for the silver certificates, what if we have a problem finding them?
Well, they're out there. You can buy them on eBay. You can buy them different places. If it's an issue, I mean, you can always buy real silver and put to it. Remember, right now, the price of silver is pretty high compared to what it was. You don't really have to use the $21 silver certificates. I mean, you could use $20, $21 of fiat currency. I'm just trying to give everybody a better foundation, shall we call it, for their trust. But they're out there. I buy them all the time.
Okay, so once the RV happens and we're post-RV, can we just use the currency, $21 of the current of the note, the U.S. note?
You could. I mean, after the fact, when you create a trust after the RV, it's going to be backed by gold. The currency is backed by gold, but what we have right now is not. Now, we've been doing this since 2009.
Now the silver certificates, aren't they associated with respect to going to court?
They are. Here's the deal. This is a common law contract trust. It's based in common law. The Constitution doesn't say anything about currency. It talks about money. Money is gold and silver. So what we're trying to do is show the court that we are aware that we don't have money in circulation right now. But we found these old silver certificates, and we think they're redeemable. And since we are using money to base this trust on, it may fall out of the statutory laws to a degree. Because now in common law, you're proving that you are aware of the common law and that you're trying to use real money. Now, I'm not saying the judge is going to agree with that, but I think it's a valid argument. And it probably will hold up in court. So you'd get a different type of trial. In other words, it would be definitely a jury trial. And you can educate the jury. You have the right to talk to the jury. You have the right to explain yourself to the jury. So that's why we did this. It's just a way to have more horsepower than any other contract out there.
Would it be wise for us? We have, I think, like 5 or 6 trusts that we'll need to do post-RV. Should we just go ahead and start collecting 5 times 21 or 6 times 21 so we don't have an issue trying to get the silver certificates?
That's what I'm doing. Every time I'm out and about, every couple times a month, I go out to the store, stop in, and buy their junk. And, you know, I pay $1.10, $1.20, $1.30 for the old notes. And it doesn't matter if it's a 20 or a 1 or a 5. You're going to pay the base amount plus a little bit more. So, yeah, it's going to cost you $30 or so for $21 worth.
Okay. And when we get ready to do the trust, which would probably be the day after redemption, how long will it take to get them? We are purchasing property out of the state we're in, and I'm going to put our name, but and or assignee, and then bring the trust in as the assignee of the ownership of the property. So about how long do you think it would take to get the, well, it's the real estate trust that's the most important, two of them.
And then the most difficult to build, too. It takes time. I don't know, because we don't know how many people are going to step up the plate that quick. Remember, there's two of us, Carol and I, and we have some people we've trained. But we haven't trained a whole lot because we'd have to pay them waiting for this RV. We can't do that. So we're going to have to step it up and train some people after the RV. So we're saying it's going to take, Carol and I got our own personal RV to take care of. We got to take about 2 weeks to get our lives squared away. That doesn't mean you can't start ordering the trust right away. It just means that we're not going to start on them, and we have to train some people. It's not much for us I'm in Oregon. When the RV happens, I'm putting my butt on a jet, and I'm going out to spend 6 months in Florida to work with Carol and our company there to get this thing done. We promised everybody 6 months. We'd be around for 6 months. And we're not taking new clients unless they've already registered with us that they want to be a future client. So it's going to be closing it down. Even though the website doesn't have it say anything about sales, it does have you have your interest in what we have. There is a form on there. The moment the RV happens, that form comes off. But it's not going to take anybody else. So I would say it's going to take 30 days, maybe more, to get the trust out. There's going to be a lot.
Okay, because I just need to know how long to do the escrow. That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, you can keep in touch with us, and we can give you an idea after the RV. And what I'm going to do is, post-RV, I'm going to put a form in there. You'll have to log in to get this form, and there'll be a bunch of tick box. You can just tick a box of your question, and you can just, push send. It comes to us. We'll respond to that very, very quickly. We want to keep the verbal communication to a minimum and rather do most of it by form or by internet because you know how it is with a conversation. Hi, how you doing? And you start talking about other things. Next you know, you've burned up 30 minutes.
Okay, so it's probably wise to do something like 45 days or something like that.
I'd say that'd be safe, right. We'll probably put emphasis on the real estate trust as they come in because we know that's something you need to have as soon as possible.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I think I'm off of your mailing list because my girlfriend has to send me all of your information, like when you're doing these calls. So
okay,
I think for some reason...
Okay, hold on a second. What I want you to do is just simply send an email to Jim or security@indicatorinformation.com and just say,
I read the information that was on your email that she sent me, and I was going to take care of that this weekend.
Good. Do that because when we moved from the other company that we were using to send out the mail list, they didn't do a very good job. We're the new company, and it's much easier for me to do what I need to do. And I can add individuals in there at any time. So, yeah, I added 9 people yesterday before I sent out the last email. So.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time, and have a blessed weekend.
Thanks,
Helene.
You too. And Helene brought the set of the 21 silver certificates. Somebody sent me an email today. Does it have to be a 20 and a single? No, it can be any combination that comes to $21. 2 fives and a single, four fives and a single, 2 tens and a single, 21 singles, however you want to do it. Okay, our next caller is Georgine. Georgine,
hi, Carol.
Hi.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Great. Hi, Jim. Hi, Carol. And again, thank you so much for what you're doing. And I'm getting more comfortable, understanding all about this, and I really appreciate it. And to the gentleman in Canada, I retired and 5 years ago moved to the state of Tennessee. And let's just say pretty much all of Tennessee are constitutional Americans. And unfortunately, there's only one radio station, and we listen to it because we do get real news. And there is a convoy going to D.C., but they very much have modeled it from the Canadians. And we've been getting the right information from the Canadians. And so we just love you, and thank you for what you did. I mean, it's a big deal. So either Carol or Jim can ask me, I'll be real quick. There was a gentleman last two weeks ago, had the same idea that I intend to do, is I want to feed people. I know about livestock. I've had lots of experience, especially with sheep. And at my age, I can't do a lot of the physical work, but I do know some young farmers, and I would like to buy up a lot of land, create a big flock. But I heard there is another gentleman, and maybe if there's time, Jim or Carol, that gentleman and I can get together and do something. I am going in partnership, and with this new partnership with this young farmer, should I go ahead and get another contract test, for this new business? And that's a question I have, and how should I contact you guys for doing that? So that's it.
Good questions, and thank you for the kudos about Canada, and I like what you're doing with the farms and the ranchers and the young ranchers. To get a hold of us, it's simple. We have the new site, which is the old URL, indicatorinformation.com. We have the new site, which is iiicalls.com, which has got all of these calls, including last week's, and we have all 130, will be 137 after today. And we have 3iTrust app, .com, which is where the applications are. You simply go to that and you figure out which one you want, fill it out, ask for your credit card at the end, and submit it. And we get them within 20 seconds after the time you submit it. We know about it. It hits Carol's computer and my computer automatically. And we both get a copy, and then we assign it to somebody to do it, or we do them ourselves. It depends on the situation. So they happen very, very quick right now. But that's going to change when we have the RV, because we, let's just say that we have, I'm just using a low number, let's say we have 100 people that want 3 trusts apiece. That's 300 trusts. It takes an hour, hour and a half to do a trust. So it's going to take time. And then, of course, you have to worry about trying to get the postage system. Our U.S. United States Postal Service is kind of not too good right now. And then it's got to come through the mail. Our 3 days are usually 4 or 5. It's crazy. So that's the schedule. That's how it's going to have to work. You just get a hold of us through that 3iTrustApp.com, and you get an instant reply back from us, automatic reply, and then we get on it. And then if there are any questions, we get a hold of you by phone. It's really simple.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. Before we take the next call, Carol, I'd like to say a couple things.
Okay.
All right. Carrie, you did a bang-up job. You really, really did. But there's a lot of background noise. We have another call. Please turn off the TV in the background. But I got to tell you, I was impressed, very impressed. And I totally agree with everything he said, 100%. And I know that we're hurting down here. We got some stupid people running this country. There's no doubt about it. Let's go, Brandon. So, Ted, go ahead and bring on the next one.
I was in reference to Georgine's questions about getting hold of other people who may have a similar project. Is there any way we could put up a message board on the website so people
can? We can do that. Sure.
Write down.
Sure,
the
I can do that. There's a plugin I can add for that. You'd have to be logged in to do it, but yeah.
Yeah, I know this question's come up before, so if we can do something like that to facilitate our clients, I think we should do it.
Well, it's going to be basically a hybrid BBS. BBS is bulletin board system. So what you do is you log in. Go ahead.
I said whatever. Okay.
Okay. Well, so I'll set up where you just simply log into the computer, the website, and there'll be a link there. You go in there, and you can put your message in there, and then you can put your email address in there, and they'll respond directly to you. That's why I want you to be – you have to be a member, and you have to log in to do it, because we don't want your email address out there to the public. But, yeah, I'll put one together.
I guess that's a good idea. That's great. Thank you. Okay, Karen. Howdy, Karen.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi. I don't know whether you want me to introduce myself at all, but I have some ideas. Okay, well, I will.
Yeah,
I have some
Karen, speak up.
Yes. Okay, I'm right next to my phone. Hang on, let me see if I... Well, I got... Yep. Well, I don't know how to make it better.
There you go.
Okay. So I have some ideas about real estate trust and the management trust and the mother lode trust and that relationship. I've been thinking about this and dreaming about this for now months. I don't know what I'm thinking. But I had an idea about, you know, because we don't know what we're going to land with as far as property. Is there a way that we, you and I can together and figure out a way to set up a skeleton so people can aim and have their trust ready to receive a property?
Yeah.
We need to talk about that off of this, but yeah, we can do something.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The biggest challenge with let me just jump in real quick, Karen, and appreciate your call, by the way.
Yeah.
Biggest challenge we have is the information we need about the property to be able to get it
right. Set
up for recordation, and that's the biggie. And so there's no – remember, we have 50 states with 50 different ways of doing things, and it's we have to get with each state every time we put one of these together, and that's time-consuming. So as we build our database of information from state to state, it's not just state to state, it's county to county.
That's county.
Yeah. And so as we build our database, of course, it'll be easier every one we do that's in the same county. But just letting everybody know, that's the most difficult trust for us to do is because we have to get all the documents ready for the county. And then you record it. That's what takes the time.
Anyway, we can talk about it because I have some ideas about defining the shell and having it ready and that doing all the signing and everything. But basically, you can have the shell printed and delivered, and then the body of the trust is all of that definition that's county specific.
Yeah, we can do that.
We'll
do
talk
like
about it.
I've always felt that if it needs to be like right now, we can at least get somebody an abstract of trust so they can take that with them to their signing.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Now, for the people who don't know, Karen's one of our worker bees. She does a great job. And she's just a plethora of knowledge about some of this stuff. And she's been in high finance and low finance and side finance. I don't know exactly what she did. But she's been around
that
game a lot.
That's not side finance. That's not public knowledge.
So, we'll work that out.
Idea about the $21 as well, $21 in silver certificates.
Yeah.
Yeah, great answer, by the way, that it is, you know, it is representative of real money and not the fiat crap. Because that's just, it says it right on its face.
Yep. So, that's why Carol pays me the big bucks to bring that forward.
I know, but somehow dredged up in my mind in the background, I remembered something about the UPU, the postage is not debt.
Yeah.
And as you know, it doesn't say it on its face. It actually represents the value of the delivery of your mail, right? So it has intrinsic value, not in its paper, but it just like a silver certificate, it represents the real value of delivery of mail.
Yep.
And that is why a lot of people have picked it up as another way to have $21 represented in a common law trust. Expressed it to Carol, and I thought you and Carol would talk about it, but it doesn't look like it has happened yet. So maybe that's another thing we could talk about.
We have four more callers. We've got about 10 minutes left. So thank you, Karen.
Okay, I'm out. And okay. Thanks for introducing me. All right.
Joseph in sunny Hawaii. How are you today?
Aloha, Carol and Jim. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's a pleasure to hear you guys. I only have one question. Is the website 3EyesCall.com or 3EyesTrust.com?
Okay. There's multiple websites. So first thing, it's simple. You just go to IndicatorInformation.com. You don't even have to be logged in. At the very top, there are two blocks. On the left, let me look. I built it, and I don't remember exactly what's what. Just take me a second and pop it up here. It's, here it is, my site.
Carol?
It's
Jim,
on the left. Pardon me?
I'm sorry. Carol, I sent you a voicemail. Please,
no,
can you text me or email me?
Hello, after the call.
Yes, no problem.
Okay, Jim, go ahead.
So on the new website, the left-hand side at the top says, we have our own conference call webpage now. It's either indicator-calls.com or iiicalls.com. The reason they got both of those is if you're on a cell phone or an iPad, and if you want to do a hyphen, you usually have to drop down and find it in the numerical part. So I got two URLs. So iiicalls.com is a secondary, but it goes to the actual website is indicator-calls.com. That's why I did that. So it makes it easier for you on a phone to get to it. The other side, complete your application at 3itrustapp.com. Now, all you got to do is click on either one of the buttons there. It'll take it right to it automatically. So they're right there on the website, and you do not have to be logged in for that to function. So that should be easier for people now. You can go right directly to any one of our websites, right from the front page, the top of the front page of our website now.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Jim. Yes, aloha.
Yes.
Carol, aloha. Jim, thank you again.
Yeah, I'll call you later, okay?
Yes, by all means. I appreciate
Thanks.
That.
Okay. Terry, you have something to add?
Yeah, that's me, Terry, Carol. I had an idea. It has something to do with the way the government is running up here in Canada, and that is that first and foremost, our principal residence, if we sell it, is totally tax free. There are no taxes whatsoever on the sale of your house. Trudeau's government, however, are planning to make that sale of your principal residence subject to tax on the profit that you made from your house. If you bought your house for $100,000 and you sold it for $300,000, you'd pay tax at 50% of the increased value. That's what he's planning to do. The contract trust, a real estate trust, is a way that can be used to avoid such taxation, at least here in Canada. I don't know what taxation is involved in the United States in that regard, but this is in reference to what's happening in Canada. It would be a great blow to us if we have to pay tax if we sell our house. Terry would do it. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, Terry. The situation is this. The only time you have to pay taxes on a transaction is if there's a change of ownership.
Right?
If it's in a trust and you assign a new trustee, that's a change of management, not ownership. What I have done in the past, and a large chunk of change. It was a business that actually they sold. Actually, they didn't sell it. They took a corporation, wrapped it in a trust, and went and found a buyer. He created a trust, put some money in there, and the two gentlemen changed jobs. So effectively, there was no change of ownership, just change of management. You can do that. It's simple. You just have to have an educated buyer.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's one of the ways you can do that.
Yeah, and that's
we can
my
get
point.
Into the we can get into the details on how to do that for Canada or America. We've done it many times. I mean, I have. So I know it works.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of educating the buyer and the seller on how to do it. That's all.
Yeah. So, like, my point is this, is that right now, Terry Miller owns my house. That's right now. It does. If I don't do anything and they bring in this taxation, and if I sell the house, then there's tax going to be payable on the increased value. To avoid that, I want to sell my house to the trust, right, at my price, right? And then,
well, if you sell the house to the trust, if they impose that tax, you have to pay the tax. If you exchange that house into the trust, the certificates of beneficial interest and become the trustee, that's how you do it. And then you're just the trustee. The trust owns it because the certificates are evident of that. Then you have a buyer create a trust, and then you exchange jobs. It's the same thing. But if at the present moment, you could move the house in there easily. We get around a lot of that here in the U.S. by, they allow you to exchange a home or anything else for estate planning purposes. Mm-hmm. But what they really anticipate you doing is putting it into one of their statutory trusts. Well, we don't tell them it's a non-statutory trust. Yeah, we're not that stupid. We just go ahead and do it. And since they will, like my automobiles. I have three automobiles and I have three trusts. And I just don't mind doing this for estate planning. And normally they're anticipating getting documentation from the state, and now they're starting to ask for it. Well, I just did one the other day and I was able to use the abstract of trust, perfectly satisfied. So, again, estate planning, I don't know how it is in Canada, but in America, they allow us to move things into trust for estate planning purposes without a taxation issue. But they're thinking it's a statutory trust. What they don't know won't hurt them.
How is
it up there, Terry?
Well, I'm certain that it works much the same way because, A, we're talking about common law here.
Yep.
But what you're talking about is what's available to you in common law. And so it's the same here with respect to the types of things that you're talking about. I guess what I was thinking of was, first off, I want to sell my house anyway, at some point. And I don't want to do it in a taxation, environment. So if I sold the trust soon, and I mean actually sell it to the trust, right? The trust has money, I can get paid for my house, and the trust owns it. The trust can do what they want with it, i.e. lease it to me at a very reasonable rate to live here. And,
well, yes, and that's 100% correct, but you don't have to wait that long. You can do a promissory note. You don't sell it. You exchange it to the trust. You can do it right now. I mean, you could do it today. There's no money involved. And then you could get a promissory note from the trust that you could redeem at a future date at whatever price you set. Then that money could go to another trust. Then if you decide you want to actually get rid of the property, for lack of a better term, then you could do what we just said, find somebody else to put some money into a trust and just exchange jobs. But right now, you just simply want to exchange it into a new real estate trust.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Very well thought out. Thank you very much.
You bet. Hey, great job, Terry. Thanks so much. Oh, and by the way, folks, we didn't pay Terry to say all those great things about us.
I should vote.
All right, Keith, you next.
Boo, Carol and Jim, how are you? It's Keith.
Good, how are you?
I'm well. I know we're near the end of the hour, so I'll just ask the question quickly. I guess towards Jim. Regarding the 21 silver certificates, I wanted to raise this question. Because you had mentioned earlier that, you know, each time you'll go and get 21 silver certificates to, I guess, attach it to a new trust. But if the mother lode has the 21 silver certificates and, say, the real estate trust and the other trusts are, you know, connected to the mother lode, would one have to get 21 silver certificates for those other trusts?
Yeah, you do. For the mother lode? There has to be consideration in an exchange. The consideration is $21. Remember, the reason we chose the $21 is the Constitution of the United States of America, actually for America, says any debt over $20 is entitled to a jury trial. So that's why we choose $21. Now, the attorneys will say $5 another consideration. Well, thanks for just throwing me under the bus, Mr. Attorney. Good job. So.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have a jury trial.
Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't know that. I thought it was just for the mother lode or, say, another independent trust, such as the annuity trust or the management trust. But I didn't know you have to also get it for the real estate trust and other trusts as well. So I thank you for that. That's new information for me, and it saves a big error later on. So, you know, like I said, simple questions are, if we don't ask them, those are the ones that can attack us down the road.
Good point, Keith. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's exactly how it works. $21 because of the Constitution, and we use the silver certificates because we're trying to use real money, which is not available to us at this point. In the near future, we won't worry about that. But now we still have that to worry about.
Good, good. Well, thank you, and everyone, enjoy your weekend. Take care.
Thank you.
And Sandra, your last. You're up next with your laugh.
Well, I got on late, Carol. This is Sandy. And I thought I was on the wrong call because I heard the gentleman talking about the truckers in Canada. So I thought, I've got the wrong number. So I went looking for the email. So I didn't get an email. Are y'all still sending emails now?
Yeah,
we are. Just send me remember, I talked earlier that the other company lost a lot of them. So they're not in the queue anymore. We've got it back up and running. We're under the new company, and Carol and I are digitally going through this list, and we've got, I don't know, 1,100 people on our mailing list now. So just send me security indicator information and just say, put me on the list, and then I'll do that right away because this new company allows me to log in anytime I want and add one or two or three people at a time. Where the other one was not so well done. I had to redo the list and then reinstall the list every time. So the new company is called Send in Blue, by the way, sendinblue.com. Great company, love them. And just send it to me and I'll get you in the list before the next call.
Okay. All right. I won't keep y'all any longer. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay. Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Bye.
Well, Jim, is there anything else you want to talk about before we say goodbye?
No, I think I've rattled on about all the stuff I need to say. I just want to give my closing information, my phone numbers and my email address and my hours, stuff like that.
Okay.
So is there anything you wanted me to add?
No, I mean, I've heard a couple of things come up this week, and I thought we might mention it. I've heard a lot, as many as like half a dozen times this week, that we should have a separate account for the dinar apart from the other currencies. Does that mean another trust? Folks, the important word here is account. Account.
Yes.
One contract trust can own several bank accounts, so the answer would be no. However, you can have additional trust if you want to set it up that way, but you don't need to. I've also heard that I currently have a bank account through my trust at Wells Fargo. Will I be able to use that at the exchange? Well, yeah, I kind of doubt it. From what everything we've heard and read, we will be exchanging into the new QFS system, which, as we understand, will be vastly different from the retail banking we're used to. I suggest you might want to bring a bank statement with you, as I've heard the existing accounts will be transitioned to the new system. Whatever money you have in existing accounts, whether they're in your personal name or in a trust name or any kind of business name, I have read that we will be compensated with the new money for the old money. So we're not going to be losing that way. Also, let's see, I know I'll need to sign an NDA. I also know that I'm not getting any younger, so can I add my children's or advisor's name to that NDA? Yes, you can, and we have a template for that on the website. Some sites are recommending a certification of trust. Do I need that? Our abstract of trust includes much of the same information as their certification, so I would say no, you don't need that. So now, Jim, would you like to quote?
Yeah. Thanks for bringing all that. I forgot. I had a brain fart. I mean, I know we talked about it, but I forgot it. All right, so I'm in the West Coast still, in beautiful downtown Salem, Oregon, one of the bluer states, which is disgusting. And my phone numbers are 866-341-6907. That's my 800 number, or 503-583-6791. I'd like to work from 9 to 6, Monday through Friday. I don't like to work in the evenings. In fact, I'm getting to the point now, I just turn the phone off in the evenings. And because I get calls. I got a call at 11:30 the other night. I don't know why they want to talk to me at 11:30, but they evidently did. Obviously, I didn't take the call. And I don't work weekends. So I can think that's all I need to say. Security@indicatorinformation.com is the best way to get a hold of me. And I try and respond as soon as I can. Same day at least, possible. We did have a lot of email problems here recently. We got that all resolved. That all came through the old website. Now that the new website's up and running, seems like the email's running really smooth now. So we did figure out what the problem was. We did fix it, and I think everybody would be happy with what we come up with. Well, that's it for me, Carol. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jim. Just as a little recap, you know, our contract trusts are well priced at only $14.95 for new clients, $11.95 for additional trusts or for family members. Most of you know we also offer a 20% referral fee for any fully paid new trust, but somebody has to remind me. You have to let me know that I referred somebody, or that person has to let me know that so-and-so referred you. Otherwise, I don't know who to pay. Anyway, thanks to all of you for your time and attention today. My name is Carol Werlius. My number is 877-833-5018 or 206-915-4236. I'm available between 10 and 6 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Like Jim, I do not like to work weekends or in the evenings. And the best way to reach me is by email, info@indicatorinformation.com. Have a happy and safe weekend, everybody, and go RV. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.